Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast. And, you know, Jody has always said, you know, when you've just done something that's fun and exciting and you're pumped up, like a vacation, for example, mm-hmm. and it's done and you come off of it.
Grief.
A little bit of grief, right, exactly.
Yeah.
But always plan the next thing that you're looking forward to because mm-hmm. It's pretty, and it's true.
If you just always have something to look forward to.
Next thing you look forward to, yeah, exactly. It's hard not to be pumped up and optimistic. Mm-hmm. And this isn't about a vacation, but this is something that I am insanely excited about. And it's mostly me. I think I probably gain more enjoyment from this. The other family members are going to think it's cool, and I think they're going to love it.
Oh.
But for me, I am just excited. It's been 5 or 6 weeks ago I sent off a bunch of film.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, and this is... So
oh, my gosh.
So here, let me explain to you these home movies, which are really, really old because they belong to my grandfather, all right? And as you know, my dad passed in 2021, beginning of 2021, 2 years ago. And as we've gone through and we've cleaned out, he actually did wind up with all of those family films on what they call 8mm and Super 8mm. These don't have any sound with them, of course, during that, you know, time period. Now, let me set the scene. My grandfather.
There it is. That's the sound, Sam.
My grandfather was born in 1912. He bought his first film camera in 1939. Hmm. The reason I know that is because I actually have that camera, which is a wind-up film camera. And my grandfather was such a penny pincher, which was not unusual for anybody from the Depression era. I mean, you know, you value every cent. Mm-hmm. He actually bought it used. It was not brand new. And my grandfather did that with a lot of different things. And so that was his first camera. And I remember as a kid getting to kind of play with that. It was really cool. My grandfather died when I was 10. Mm-hmm. So I've never really been able to have any conversations with him about any of those. It was always through my grandmother.
Right.
Who lived to be 97. So all these films were at her house for a very long time through the time period that my parents were still alive. And I always wanted to watch them. We never got a chance to actually watch them. As a kid, I remember seeing one of them, which was my grandfather doing a high dive. He was a diving champion, actually a high dive champion. And he would do these beautiful, you know, slow motion dives off of a big board in like 1937, 38, 39, somewhere.
I know, right?
Crazy. So anyway, you fast forward to the present. The family just kind of juggled the films around. Nobody really did anything with them. For the years that there wasn't a way to digitally transfer this stuff, obviously the only way was to go on eBay, find a projector, if you were lucky enough, with a bulb, if you were lucky enough, and a screen to project it on, if you could find that. And it's difficult to find, you know, those. And then plus, you know, as a kid, you remember that these little films, when they would shoot them, they're only 4 minutes on each reel, the little bitty reels. And then if your dad or your grandparents or whoever would do those, would splice them all together, you might get a 20, 25 minute.
Man, I'm exhausted just hearing about the process. Wow,
we just had a bunch of reels. We weren't that advanced to put them together.
Right. But my dad, you know, did that. So here's where I'm going with this. These films, you know, I've sent them off to be remastered, but this process has taken so long, and I'm bummed at one part of it, because a lot of film before Kodak invented safety film is what they called it, that didn't deteriorate due to the elements, a lot of the film deteriorates. Mm-hmm. And I also think at one point, I know that these films were maintained inside, but they got shuffled to a number of different family members. I'll leave it at that. And at one point, they stayed outside in a garage for a couple of years. And I think
Which is grounds for being, you know, kicked out of the family as far as Murphy's concerned.
That's
a joke.
So the oldest of these films between 1939 and 1947, which the reason those are exciting to me is because I've never seen, to my recollection, I've never seen any moving picture of my dad at a young age. Mm. He was born in 1943. So that theoretically means some of this film is even before he was born. Mm-hmm. And then through his childhood. And so each canister, as I was going through and pulling each one out and looking at the labels, my grandfather had labeled them. So there's some from the 1940s, the 50s, and they go all the way through 1972, I think. And so the company that I sent them off to, this is – This is not a cheap thing to do if you want to do it right. But I believe, I mean, it's one of two things. They get thrown away because nobody would watch them on anything or be able to,
right.
Which means that history would never come back, couldn't be shared with anybody. Or you just take the plunge and you do, you know, to save it. And so that's exactly what, you know, me and my brother and my sister have done. We want to, you know, save these films and see what they're about.
But you being the lead of that, though, Murphy. Murphy's the lead of that. He is the, and you've been called this at family gatherings, the historian of the family. Murphy is the historian of the family. If we have a party, which I'm offering to do, like for, and your family to come over, and you put these things on once you get them, I mean, how many hours are we talking? I know you're going to want to soak up every minute. Because you're the historian, and you're the history buff.
So here's what I sent off. You know, just like carpet, they charge you by the foot.
Yeah.
And it's 10,000 feet of film. And
Do the math.
Well, I mean, they're not charging dollars by the foot. It's pennies. But the film that can be run through this automated system with no problem. And there are a couple of different ways that this can be done. Huh. There are a lot of services that do a very good job of this. There are some services that it's the hobby of somebody. And that's not the route I wanted to go. I wanted to go through somebody who could actually preserve and take care of some film that's 80 years old, you know?
And Mr. Spielberg.
Yeah. So this is a Hollywood restoration company that actually does it. They're in Marietta, Georgia. It's not like they're in Hollywood, but you know, but
they sold you as a Hollywood.
Well, look, we're in Hollywood, Florida.
Anybody that does cinema kind of stuff, that cinema can be done from anywhere now. You know,
it's
that.
True.
So do they, remaster, do they clean it up too, or are they just loading it onto a different medium?
Yeah, this is the part that's really exciting and fascinating to me. So I'll come back to the damaged film in a second. The film that was in good shape is capable of running through what they call their automated system. It goes through what they call a wash, which is designed to clean the film up. And it is not done the way that some of these transfers were done 15 years ago when the digital technology first was available. It used to be you kind of had this little interfacey thing, or you pointed a camcorder at the screen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the way this is done. It's a frame-by-frame digital capture, and it is then remastered.
Mm-hmm.
And now, look, you know, it's only going to be as good as what's going into it. This is not the AI fancy Beatles stuff that you saw in the...
This is not going to look like Avatar, The Way of Water.
Right, right.
So if the film if it was shot poorly to begin with, you're going to get...
Yeah, it's going to be
enhanced poorly, right.
But what they do is they color correct for fading and things like that so that the colors become more true.
Well, that's cool.
And some of these are going to be in black and white, but you know, many of them, even from the 1940s, early 40s, are in color.
Wow.
And so they wash the film, and then they go into one of these video editors and they color correct. And so there are guys now. Look, they're not color correcting frame by frame, but it loads into the system frame by frame. So they've got this reliable way, you know. So if there's a scene change, they can immediately fix a scene at one time or what have you. So this is not like some sort of painstaking archival process that a state or a federal, you know, museum would use. So it's not that fancy, but this is where it's really more about where technology is versus me saying I've sent something off to a Hollywood studio. That's a bit of an exaggeration. But the way that they master it is different then. And so, yes, it does cost a little bit more. But they'll go back and frame by frame correct it. For the things that can't go automatically in that they wash, this is the note I got back yesterday, and a lot of the film is brittle and is broken into pieces. What they attempt to do with those, if they can save them, they will try to pull some stills from a handful of them, if you
want
to see what the stills are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they are able to piece some of it together digitally so that there are some moving pieces that they can run through the machine, even if it winds up being 15
seconds.
It would
look like a jump cut or something, maybe.
Yeah. 15 seconds or 5 seconds or whatever it's going to be, they'll do that. That part, though, has to be done by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me, you know, he said, if that's the route you want to go, here's what it will cost per hour. Ooh. And I just told him back, well, you need to let me know first how many feet of film we're talking about so I have an idea here.
Yes.
I'm interested in saving as much as I can, but I don't want to go broke, you know, trying to keep right exactly. And so, because I definitely don't have a Hollywood budget for this, but the fact that they can do that by hand, and I'm fascinated by that personally. If I had the time and I was retired or whatever, I'd be fascinated to do that kind of stuff. I actually love, as Jody, I'm a tinkerer. Mm-hmm. I would love to do that. But this is just not, if it's ever going to get done, someone who does this every day is the one who needs to do it. So, you know, fast forward back to the present now. About half of the film's been processed. They're going to send me previews of those. Most of those are from the 1960s present, because the film that's dicey, unfortunately,
is the older
stuff, which to me is what I'm most curious about, you know, of all of it. But it's just, it's like going and finding moving pictures from a 40-year time period that you've never seen in your life. It's long since passed, but it's your family, so you'll recognize, we will recognize most of the people, you know, in these, and I am giddy to see what it's going to be and have a family get together and be able to talk about it. Oh my God, that's, you know, Skipper. My grandfather called him Skipper, and we've got a handful of movies. Jody's, you know, seen the movies that my dad shot of him, but I actually don't have as much as you would think, because he died in 1979 and I was 9 years old. And, you know, I mean, so anyway, this is what I'm looking forward to.
Once you get it all back, are you sharing the link with everybody?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
After the party.
Yeah, right.
He wants everybody to come over
after they pay their subscription fee.
Right. But yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna, you know, they'll give me previews. I'll get a, you know, they actually will still put it on DVD, which I thought was old school, but it was explained to me that's actually not as old school as you would think, because
there will be people in your family who want it on DVD.
Well, they actually what they say is it's less likely to deteriorate in the DVD form long term than it is as an MP3, MP4, whatever, you know, computer file, which I don't.
How?
I don't know if that's corruption, because it could get lost in the cloud or lost on a hard drive crash or whatever.
Right, to me, it's like having
a
hard backup.
DVD is like having a hard
backup in case you have some sort of crash or accidental delete or something like that.
Yeah.
So
anyway, you know, there'll be a lot of his tour of duty World War II stuff at the very beginning, if they're able to salvage that stuff. You know, my dad, my uncles, it'll go through, you know, some of the cousins' years. It'll probably be my birth, you know, probably films that I've not seen of myself and my brother and my sister. But that's about as far as it goes. And then it's, you know, I guess he stopped shooting film in the early 70s.
Right, and he got a camcorder.
Well, actually, my grandfather never got a camcorder. They went Polaroid after that, so everything became instant stills.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.